The Truth News Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman. And things are going to be a tad different today. I think you'll understand when I tell you this. It's between 3:30 and 4 a.m. I'm sitting in the studio at Truth News Net headquarters. I can't sleep. Now, I'm not sick. I don't sleep a lot. I don't have insomnia. There are no things going bad in my life that keep me up, stuck in worry and stress. You know, it's just never taken a lot of sleep to keep me going. I guess that's just the way it's been and the way it still is. What I do when I don't sleep much at night is I think, and I think a lot. I think about family, about grandchildren, about growing old. It's pretty easy for me to think about growing old. I am old. Thinking has become highly underrated. I find myself so busy today, my life seems fuller than ever with stuff that all keeps me from thinking. Things like my iPhone seems to never stop dinging with voicemails, emails, texts, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter notifications. Add to that those iOS software updates, app updates, and calendar notifications. And I find myself sometimes too busy to simply just stop for a bit and think. But in the last few years, since having my 60th and now 65th birthdays, I've learned to welcome thinking that keeps me from sleeping. It's been a gift that even though it's been a part of my life for a long, long time, I just simply have missed it. Maybe I missed it because of being so stinking busy, so preoccupied, so torn by dealing with all my stuff. But no matter, I've simply missed it. And missing it has cost me a whole lot, I've discovered. At some point during the last 10 years or so, it's kind of like lightning struck me with the realization that when I look at my life, more of it's behind me than is in front of me. Funny how that realization changes the way I think. No doubt, my past has been really good to me. Really, really good. But obviously, that's no guarantee of what's ahead. You know that. And if I'm caught in projecting what's left of my life based on my life so far, up until this point, I could just stop thinking and coast, knowing that things are going to be pretty good. Because things have really been good. You know, no matter what the gurus of positive thinking say, you know, those things like making things happen by just thinking positive, rejecting negative thoughts, always claiming the glass is half full, rejecting superstition, and reaping what we sow, at some point, I've simply got to stop planning and worrying and let thinking take over, reasoning. And I think I'm just about there. At 65, it's a little bit late for me to fret and worry about all the mistakes in my past. Sure, every mistake has made an impact in the course of my life. That's part of living and growing and making a life. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Some of our mistakes cost us dearly. I'd have loved to be able to brush those bad mistakes all away. But sometimes mistakes just happen. You may have heard this. Sometimes bad things just happen to good people. But I've learned to deal with them, think them through, and learn from them all. I got an old friend, a gospel singer. He's passed away now. Andre Crouch, multiple Grammy winner, a great writer, a great song singer, had a great band, Andre Crouch and the Disciples. In his heyday, he wrote a song titled Through It All. It's one of the best songs ever written. It contains what has been one of the most impactful lines of any song that I've ever heard. Here it is. If I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can do. I think Andre was in his early 30s, maybe mid-30s when he wrote that. But he certainly nailed what thinking through and making choices in life is really all about. During my midlife crisis, you know, I think everybody has one. I guess that's why I don't sleep much. There's no way I could have made it through without having the assurance that when I got to the end of that ordinarily traumatic time of life, things would really be okay. You know what? They are. In fact, things are not just okay, thank God. They're pretty darn good. So, for this conversation, I'm going to ask you for a favor. Will you indulge me for just the next few minutes? I'd like to, while I'm not asleep and thinking at now 3:56 a.m., analyze those pretty darn good things and include you in that conversation. So here we go. I've got good health. Yeah, there's a heart attack in the mix. The removal of two kidneys. Don't go bonkers, I was born with three. I have two heart stents. Both thumb joint replacements are artificial. There were a handful of minor surgeries, but I've lost over 100 pounds in the last 5 years, and I've done it the right way. Eating right, daily aggressive exercise. In fact, I'm back at my college weight, and I've maintained it for several years. I've got a really good marriage, although it's not a perfect one. Ours, in fact, has imitated what life is all about. You know, you get happy. Then you have problems. You work through the problems together, and then you get happy again. Thank God there's been a bunch more of those happy agains. I've started 4 companies in my lifetime. The last couple turned out really good. We have 3 wonderful children that are all now grown. They're all married. They're doing well. And they have given us 6 amazing grandchildren. I learned quickly that grandchildren are a whole lot more fun than children were. Although I loved fathering our amazing 3 kids. Today we spoil those grandchildren rotten. We never say no. You know why? Because then we get to send them home. On the bad side of a parental divorce, when I just knew that my life at age 16 was pretty much permanently trashed, God moved me 200 miles north and into a family that through the last 50 plus years have proven to me again and again that family and relationships are what life is really all about. And family is the model with which God put in place His perfect plan for us to use to make it. Along the way, at very strategic moments, I've met very specific people who each made major impacts in my life. I'm sure you have those kind of folks in yours too. The first for me was Sister Green. She taught children's church, which I attended when I lived in Lafayette, Louisiana. Sister Green had somewhere in her life captured the reality of a relationship with God. She masterfully simplified the process so that a 5-year-old little Cajun boy could understand who God is and how to have a relationship with God Himself. She was simply amazing. Roger Robinson, or Mr. Robinson, befriended me as my high school freshman speech teacher. He walked on crutches because of polio that he had at a young age. But you quickly forgot about him having a handicap of any kind, simply because of the way he lived his life for and with others. He never saw me as just a 14-year-old kid. He saw something in me that I didn't even know was there. Without even telling me what he was doing while he was doing it, he put me on a path towards success that molded my life with readiness for all of the hills and the valleys that certainly lay ahead. When the hills came, he taught me how to adjust those. I did the same when the valleys came. Roger taught me how to lower the mountaintops a bit and make the valleys shallower than they really were by just rejecting that old success killer. Somebody owes me something. He taught me to simply push through, put the bad stuff behind, and keep trucking. And then Rodney and Francis Duron opened up their home and their hearts to this 16-year-old boy who had lost a big chunk of confidence in his parents' nasty divorce. When I moved in, they moved all in with their love and their lives. Though never formally adopted, I was always treated as their true son, and I still am. Dad Duron went to heaven 6 years ago after giving his life away every day. He was the epitome of giving one's life to others. He loved people, everybody. He pastored the entire city of Shreveport, Louisiana. And his life showed that. At his wake, mourners lined up for 4 hours to pay their respects to the most honest, God-fearing, committed to others man I've ever known. And it was fitting that he met Jesus face to face on March 16th, 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not experience eternal death, but have life forever. That's from John 3:16. Dad Duron shared that with people every day of his life. Their only biological child, my brother, Denny Duron, took me in too. For 50-plus years, he has loved me, he's poured his life into mine, he's shared literally everything in his life with me, including his entire family, 7 kids, and their kids, his friends, his contacts, his resources, and his magnanimous giftings. I've never known anyone like him, and probably never will. He just took what Mom and Dad Duron lived and expanded it to a larger group of people. I am proud to say, button-busting proud to say, he's a world changer and teaches all those around him what a personal relationship with God and other people does for you. He's no different than everyone else in this respect. He's been hurt, taken advantage of, disappointed, fought some health issues, while having a glorious life in high school, college, and professional football. And as the founder of one of the most successful high school football programs in America, Evangel Christian Academy. All the while, he has pastored the finest church in America, in my opinion, Shreveport Community Church, fulfilling what his father did his entire life. Showing people in Shreveport and around the world that God really gives a rip. He really cares. Denny loves everybody. And I get to live in that amazing environment every day. As I sit and write this, I realize something. I've been guilty in that during a large part of my life, I've taken the good things that have happened to me for granted. I guess that in my thinking cycle, that's dawned on me. I've made a bunch of choices, some good, some bad. But in every choice, no matter good or bad, I've come through each feeling stronger on the backside just simply for going through them. The good choice results are obvious. The bad choice results are obvious too. So here's my conclusion. I don't know of anyone in history that didn't face hurt, betrayal, abuse of many kinds, and personal loss. I know of many who let some or all of those wrongs destroy them. But I, too, know of many who took them in stride using the results of those things to seed the ground in their lives for good that was coming. Farmers, like no others, have it figured out. You know what happens when they plant soybeans? Soybeans grow. It makes no difference if they didn't have soybean seed to plant and they put pumpkin seeds in the ground instead. Nothing those farmers did would make soybeans grow. They harvest what they plant. The realization of that God fundamental has really impacted my life. I'm not concentrating on those bad seeds that I planted. They've grown into bad stuff. Sure, I've dealt with the bad fruit that grew. There's no way around it. But thankfully, I've planted far more good seeds, some of which have already been harvested. Some were still in the ground. But I'm ecstatic that almost all the seeds that have been planted in my life by me and others have already seen their fruit. And the products of those other seeds, they're certainly on the way. By the way, remember this line: the best is yet to come. You know who told me that? Pastor Dad Rodney Duron. And I can't wait. Hey, listen, this has been really different. You know, maybe we ought to leave politics a little more often and come back here and have a conversation like this. I don't know everything, but I got to be honest with you, in 65 years, I've seen a lot, been through a lot, lost a lot of battles, but thank God I've won more than I've lost. I don't take you for granted either. I appreciate you being here and sharing with me. Just know this: wherever you go, whatever you do, in the choices that you make, you will always see the harvest of the seeds that you sow during that planting season. And when you plant watermelon seeds, you get watermelons every time. Maybe, just maybe, be a little more careful about the seeds that you put in the ground. But just know this: God's there. He really cares. He's got your back, and He only wants the best for you. I'll be back with you very soon. Get a good night's sleep. So long, everybody.